it's a requirement. It's not an indulgence. It's a requirement in order to come up with fresh ideas at scale that the right brain's engaged. And language engages the right brain in some very powerful ways.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
40 seconds, we're going.
Never in the field of human conflict.
How do you measure such an astonishing moment in history?
You're listening to the Big Quest podcast with Andy Murray. In a high-stakes, unpredictable world, every day is ripe with blue ocean adventures just waiting to be discovered. You need the mindset, the methods, and the motivation to lead with confidence into the unknown. Come along as we talk to today's top leaders, known for simplifying challenges, outsmarting variables, and inspiring greatness.
So, Andy. Hi, welcome.
Hey, how's it going, Ben?
Yeah, good to see you again. As always, you've kind of outdressed me a little bit. One of these days, I'm going to show up in a tux, and you're going to know what it means.
I will be quite intimidated. I'll be worried about where's the producer.
I'm supposed to be the casual guy in this scenario, yeah. I guess, kind of pushing buttons back here. But hey, so today we're talking about outcomes. So last time we talked about, we've been working our way through the five big questions that every successful right brain leader uses to create a big quest and to launch a successful big quest. Last time we talked about the big problem that you need to really get your head around and quantify for your team, and really clarify that. And in contrast, then the question two is going to go to the other end of the spectrum and say, what's the single most important outcome that you're trying to achieve? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And as I was thinking about that, I was reminded of this article that you and I have kind of traded back and forth. It was actually authored 2 years ago in 2018. I want to give the name. Efrat Livni was the author of the article. I found it in Quartz Media. But it was basically a new study from Yale scientists that was talking about how uncertainty helps us learn. And I would say helps us think and lead and helps us do work, you know, because that state of learning is so critical to doing good work and doing meaningful work. But I thought how prophetic it is that they wrote this article 2 years ago. And here we are, you know, in 2020 comes along with COVID, and it's like, you know, the greatest state of uncertainty that we've seen in a while, at least. And so the impetus is on us to be able to think like this. And here comes this article. And so I want to talk about that for just a minute before we dive into outcomes. But the reason I want to talk about it is because of the reference it makes specifically to outcomes. So let me just, for example, this one quote in here. It says, the brain is like a gambling addict. It's always betting on outcomes, predicting what will happen if you make a particular choice. It says this applies to everything from mundane daily choices like what to wear or where to shop, to much more significant decisions like what studies to undertake for your career or who should be your mate. And I would add to that, or what quest you should undertake. It just made me think of that.
Yeah, it did. Well, it's kind of good that science has caught up with ancient mythology, because every great story from the ancient stories forward have been around the tension between order and chaos.
Yeah.
And in order, the brain, you know, just actually thrives to find those patterns quickly and move it forward quickly. And that's the way our brains work. We want to make sense out of things very quickly. And actually, we don't like uncertainty.
Yeah.
But when uncertainty comes along and you're trying to create new outcomes and have new places to go, and you can't find a match inside your left brain activity, then it forces you into right brain. And that's what I get excited about on the whole concept of the quest, is that it pulls you into spaces of uncertainty and blue ocean areas where you're not going to be able to solve it with your left brain. Or if you do, you're going to pull out a pattern that you've seen exist before, and it's probably going to be the wrong solution.
Yeah.
Because you're going into some unknown spaces.
Yeah. And I know I love the fact that we've talked about, you know, we started with the big problem and how important it is. You know, if you're going to do meaningful work instead of just the mundane everyday work, it really helps to start thinking. Last time we talked about the biggest problem. I love your reference to story there, because if you think about, I think archaeologically the oldest story that we know about is Beowulf, if I'm not mistaken. And so here's this big sort of, you know, amorphous monster, if you will, Beowulf, that represents uncertainty, essentially, from a philosophical perspective. And so there's something about that. And if we don't see our workplace as containing that, as similar to that, then we're really not activating our brain and we're not doing meaningful work. You know, and it's interesting how we have this negative inertia of certainty. Our left brain just loves to be in control and say, okay, we're done for a while. Anyway, I couldn't help thinking of that article as we were.
Yeah, it's a great article. And I love the fact that you're finding some reinforcements in unusual places. I read an article recently about the sea squirt, and it caught my attention in National Geographic because it's a really interesting little creature.
Sea squirt?
Sea squirt, yeah, it's a sea squirt, and it lives in
like a cartoon
ocean.
Character. Is this a SpongeBob reference?
No, not a sponge. It does kind of look like a sponge. There's probably 2,300 varieties of what they look like, but they live in tidal pools, sea tidal pools. And the thing about them that's quite interesting and very unusual is that when they're young, they have an active brain in the juvenile state, and they use that brain to go search and seek until they find a rock that they think is going to be the best place to attach. Once they find that rock, they stay attached, and they begin to digest their brain because they don't need it anymore. Because they stay attached to that rock for life.
Okay.
And the rest of their life they spend sucking in plankton and any other organic material that flows by, and you don't need a brain for that. But it's what happens then when uncertainty kicks in.
Yeah, so how many people's careers did you just describe?
Exactly.
So we use our brain to get a job, and then once we have it, we kind of go, okay, I don't need my brain anymore.
Yeah, you just checks it out, and you just send but then, you know, when the rock crumbles or the tide changes direction of the plankton, it's really hard to jump out and go do that seeking thing. The right brain is I don't think we don't obviously digest our whole brain. That's impossible, but we probably do see quite a bit of right brain atrophy.
I'll bet. Yeah, I'll bet a neuroscientist would say, actually, you know, if you look at plasticity and all that, it's all about adjusting the level of active frontal cortex that mm-hmm. we need given the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I say this to you all the time, but I always think about, you know, from my years with Chick-fil-A, the Dan Cathy quote, you know, there are two kinds of people, he says. There's people who are living for the brand, and there's people who are living off the brand. And that really describes that. I love the dichotomy that those images give us, because that really gets to what you're talking about in the Big Quest framework, this idea of mindset, that we really either are in a kind of a left brain, a negative inertia mode, and we don't think of it as negative, you know, because we need that kind of certainty in a lot of places, but it really, when it comes to disruption and navigating through uncertainty, it is the biggest hindrance that we could have is certainty. I'll put the reference to that article in our show notes. So people can find it. So let's talk about outcomes here and this part of question number two. And I want to make sure that we understand and have maybe a good definition of outcomes. You know, what do you mean by the single most important outcome?
Yeah, well, I think it's first to probably define outcome and why outcome and how is outcome different than objective. We often hear the word objective, and sometimes we get those two words a bit confused.
Yeah, what's the difference there?
An objective is one that is something you want to achieve. An outcome is something that your customer, whoever that is, whether it's an end customer or an internal stakeholder, how you want to see their life changed.
Okay.
And how it's going to feel when their life is changed.
Yeah. All right. Well, so when I've heard you talk about this before, I don't want to turn this into a question again, but it's like I've heard you say, you know, it's kind of like what you talk about with the space program and the speech that Kennedy made versus the objectives that it created as a result of that.
Yeah.
If you could take us through that a little bit.
So when I talk about defining the outcome, it's first to best understand, I think, the difference between outcome and objective. And we get those often confused. An objective is what you want to create to get something done. And an outcome is something that you want to create for the, it's what the customer experiences, what behavior change, how their life will be different. And I say customer, I mean end customer or an internal stakeholder or a client participant. So it's important to really look at it from that lens. How is the outcome going to change for that person? And then tie that back to the problem. And then most importantly about outcome is how will that make them feel? And we often don't even describe that. But when you do describe outcome in that context of how does it make them feel, joy, happiness, security, all of those emotions, you start locking into something much deeper and more interesting because it allows us to enact the part of the way we really make decisions. 85% of decisions are made on emotion. They're not based on logic and rational thinking. And so if we could understand how that emotion is going to be activated, it also then leads into a lot of the design and the solution building that you're going to do to go and bridge the gap between the A, which is the problem, and the B, which is the outcome you really desire to have. And so when we look at a quest, it's all about going from A to B, the current state problem that the customer has, and then the outcome you're trying to achieve, and everything else is about getting from A to B.
Yeah. So that's great. And it makes me want to think of, okay, so if I'm listening to this, you know, there's probably a moment of epiphany somewhere in your past and maybe in the future for people listening, where that dawns on you through a practical example. So when did you first, when did it dawn on you that there was a difference between the objective that you're trying to achieve and an outcome state that you're trying to create?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's a great question. I would go back to when I worked on the P&G Walmart team, because when that was really being born, and Tom Muccio, who was going to be on our show, was leading that effort, you had two different companies, big companies, trying to solve some of the same problems, but not a common vision of that problem. It was always the other guy, and yet no real clear where's the outcome you want to go. And when Sam Walton really was the originator of the whole new way of working, came onto the scene, went to Cincinnati and talked about a new way of doing things, he painted an outcome of what would it look like if P&G treated Walmart as just an extension of their company all the way to the end consumer. You know, would you change things? Would you work the same way together? Would you re-engineer things differently? And so what kept that team and that relationship working was a really clear understanding of the outcome that they were after, which was a new way of working together that created a seamless environment across two parties. That's very different than saying, you know, our objective is to jointly grow sales. Well, that's not really, that might be a path or a step, but describing the outcome was a one way that kept the businesses, two companies focused on overcoming so many obstacles to get there. And without that painted outcome, the obstacles probably would have been overwhelming.
Yeah, it makes me think of a couple of, you know, kind of historical references. I know the famous quote that you see floating around from Aristotle, the soul never thinks without a picture.
Love that.
Credited with saying, and you know, it's this idea that it's the mental picture of things. And I love the fact that, you know, one of the pillars in your framework is motivation. And there's something when you engage the soul, which is really what everybody wants in the workplace today, you know, you use a picture to engage the soul, and all of a sudden a different level of motivation emerges. We love that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But I think it's also a visual value proposition, and it's how I like to look at it. It's it's how do you put it in visual ways that you can paint the picture with language? And language is so, so important. I remember when Bill Simon, when he was the CEO of Walmart, talked about what he wanted to do with prescriptions, and he came up with his $4 generics. which painted a picture of what that's the outcome he was after, which was a very powerful word picture. And when you could paint the outcome in that way, it has a lasting staying power, and it almost self-communicates. It carries with it the energy to go through and make things clear.
Yeah. One of my favorite memories from working with the Drucker Institute was this thing that I know everybody's read about it, but it was Drucker's story about the three stone cutters, and the first stone cutter described, you know, the guy said, "What are you doing?" Mm-hmm. And he said, mm-hmm. "You know, I'm working for a living." The second guy, mm-hmm. he said, the three guys doing the exact same thing. The second one described it from his perspective. He was doing a masterful job of cutting stones. And then this pedestrian asked the third guy, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm building a cathedral."
And oh my, yeah.
That's great. You know, the picture, the visual value proposition, that sort of soul picture that really just changes. That's the essence of a big quest versus just going to work every day.
The Big Quest Podcast with Andy Murray will return right after this break.
Today more than ever, we need leaders who lead with the values of excellence, professionalism, innovation, and collegiality, which stand for EPIC. These are the values the Walton College of Business consistently demonstrate. I've worked with the Walton College as a business owner or executive for over 25 years, and I can tell you with certainty, the students we've hired, the exec ed programs, and the insights from their research have made an EPIC impact and continue to inspire me with new ways of thinking. Their vision to bring thought leadership to the challenges business face today, such as business integrity or how to be a customer-centric organization, that adds real value by creating conversations that connect people with organizations, faculty, industry, and practice. I put a link in the show notes to Dean Matt Waller's Be Epic podcast, where you'll hear stories and get great content that will inspire you to be epic.
We now return to the Big Quest Podcast with Andy Murray.
Well, it's also important if you're going through a lot of uncertainty. I mean, there's no question strategic objectives written the right way against the right type of problem are fine. If you're trying to lower cost and you have to, you know, cut resources or those kind of things that are about scaling efficiencies, then the objective approach is great. But when you're looking at things that are uncertain and you need a lot of other people to participate with a hearts and minds engagement, then you need to start using language that creates a pull and energy from the hearts and the minds, because the only way you get creativity is if you give your brain some space to think and your energy is full and your passion and your creativity is fully engaged. It's a requirement. It's not an indulgence. It's a requirement in order to come up with fresh ideas at scale that the right brain's engaged, and language engages the right brain in some very powerful ways.
So I'm going to pull up a statement that I've heard you make before. When there's certainty, you can think about objectives, but when there's uncertainty, that's when you need to think about outcomes.
100%, 100%, 100%. And actually that's why we've created Big Quest, is to go after the spaces that are more tuned toward uncertainty.
So I wonder if we could, again, just pull out a few examples, practical examples, or any more that come from business. You know, the difference between the journey and the destination. Objectives are a means to an end, whereas the outcome is really the end we're trying to achieve. Are there any other examples that you'd like to share, that you could share for people? I love the Sam Walton story.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great story. Well, probably I can just give you a walkthrough of a fictitious challenge, problem to outcome that might make more sense or make sense to put the pieces together. So a typical problem, and I do a lot of work in the customer center, city, place, a space. A typical problem might be your call center is not delivering consistently on service as compared to what you expect for your brand promise and other areas of your brand, maybe the in-store sales associates and everything else, that there's a disconnect and it's creating an inconsistency in the call center.
That's a really common real-world problem, right?
It is. And so if you look at the outcome you want to have and you describe it as if the problem is the inconsistency, which creates a distrust in your brand,
yeah.
then the outcome, you could do it a couple of different ways. One is you could say, we want to have a consistent delivery of service experience to a potential customer. Or you can say, we want to service customers through our call center that creates a desire in them to share that experience with others because they're so pleased. Now that is a different outcome. And that one has got some emotion in it, and it's going to lead you to a different type of idea. Because if the outcome's just deliver consistency, well, there's a lot of things you could do to that. That will take you into policies and practices that you might want to do, standardization, that's a common thing. But yeah. if it's to create an experience or an outcome that's worth sharing, it really takes you to a different place, a place that has to pay more attention to what's the real behavior end game you want to have and how do you want to make them feel.
I'll tell you who's famous for doing that exact thing is Zappos. You know, if you think about it, their motto is delivering happiness, right?
Yeah.
But that happens all the time. You know, I'll walk into a store, I'll buy a product, I'll get home, I'll need to ask a quick question about it. I dial the number up and, you know, it's somebody who obviously is reading a script. They might even struggle to you know, be intelligible over the phone. Not knocking people, they all need jobs too, but you know, it just, there's an inconsistency there that if you look at it in terms of objectives, sure, it makes perfect sense to offshore your call center and your help desk and everything mm-hmm. else. But if you think in terms of an outcome, it changes the way you approach work. And again, I just want to bring this back to, you know, the whole objective of Big Quest is, you know, when you approach work this way, it's more meaningful, it's more fulfilling, it's satisfying. And for those who need this, it's also more effective, you know, right. in terms of bottom line profitability and everything else, customer loyalty. So that's fantastic. So I want to ask you one more. Let's talk just a second about this idea of harmonizing. So, you know, we created a problem last time, or we clarified our problem. You know, we identified the single biggest right. problem. And so now we're talking about this outcome, and you have this concept of harmonizing. What do you mean by harmonizing those two? Because it really is the key to creating a Big Quest. It's not just asking these questions, but it's really understanding how they fit together.
Well, when we put these five questions together, it was all meant to be something you have to harmonize and work through. And the truth is, you can have a problem that is a really big problem, and the outcome you're trying to describe isn't harmonized. It's not level set. When you step back and look at it and say, are these two things going to connect at the same levels? And that's often a big challenge. When you're starting to harmonize a quest, you have to harmonize it against the different questions you're trying to solve for, but then you also have to harmonize it against, is this aligned with the company objective and company purpose? And so having an outcome that fits the brand purpose, those two things have to be harmonized. Is it harmonized with how it's going to fit into the business operation? You know, those are things you're going to have to do. And none of these, no quest is going to stand outside the company purpose and be successful. No quest will be successful if it doesn't solve the problem that it's trying to solve. And those are two very important components that we always have to come back after we do a piece of work and look at it and say, you know, are we still on the same page? Are we connected to the right things in the right way? So that it's sequenced and there's a thread that goes through that keeps everything level. And I see mistakes happen quite a bit when we just keep chugging through things linearly. Here's the problem, here's the idea, but then you look at it and say, well, what kind of outcomes are really going to give us? It's not really going to give us that joyful sharing of an experience in customer service or whatever that might be.
So the right way to ask this question about outcomes, if we could just reword a little bit, is what is the single most important outcome that addresses the single biggest problem that we right. identified in question one?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the Big Quest podcast with Andy Murray. Make sure to head over to bigquest.com to download our free checklist to launch your own Big Quest. On the website, you'll find resources and ideas around the method, mindset, and motivation concepts behind the Big Quest framework. If you like this episode, make sure to subscribe and leave a comment. We'd love to hear what resonated with you today. And if you want to share this podcast, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, Google Play, and anywhere you listen to audio. Our goal with this podcast is to help passionate leaders think differently and make meaningful change. Be sure to subscribe so you'll be notified when the next episode goes live. Until next time, I'm Ben Ortlip here with Andy Murray, reminding you to think big and quest on.